You're very welcome along to the first show of the GA Hour. We've been 6 months waiting to get back started, and we've got started with a bang. I'm delighted to be joined by Niall McIntyre and another Kerry man. I didn't really call you a former Kerry man, Kevin McGillicuddy, who I think is based above in Longford. And I don't know what you did for your sins to be based up there, Kevin, but it's great to have the both of you with me today. How are things?
Thanks. Good. I'm preaching the football gospel up here in Longford, there, and the out into the wilderness. But I've travelled the country. I've been in Clare, in Kilkenny, Carlow, Longford. So I've done a tour of the country. So I don't know if the gospel is being spread too much or not. But I've moved in at a few different places. So I've a few different interests in the GAA season, always from the places I used to live in.
Ah, good. Keep preaching it anyway. Someone's bound to listen.
Kevin, you're a former sports show stalwart as well, I believe, back in the day.
Yeah, this is my debut on the GAR podcast. I was waiting for the call for a long time, but I eventually got the call up. This is it's a bit like a league for myself there. I get a chance to impress you in the league, and we'll see what happens later on in the summer, maybe.
There's a lot of debuts over the weekend, so what's one more?
That's it.
But there was a lot of big talking points over the weekend. I suppose it's hard to know where to start. But it was great to have it back, and it just seems that the January blues are starting to leave. We're coming to the end of January, thanks be to God. The GA is back, and we're going to start, I suppose, with, for myself and Kevin, it'll be a tough one. Donegal and Kerry. I was expecting more from Kerry. I was actually expecting less from Donegal. But it was a good game. Conditions were tough. And I think, obviously, a lot of talking point afterwards, the emotion out of Paddy Carr, his post-match interview. But we'll talk about the game. First of all, lads, what was your thinking on it? I know Kerry were coming in under strength and supposedly underworked, but they started very well. The first 25 minutes, I thought, geez, this Donegal team are in trouble this year. Kerry looked good. They looked like they're making all the running. And once Donegal kind of got to grips with it, they kind of took over from there on in. So I'd say Jack would be disappointed, despite obviously being down-bodied. I think he would have expected more out of some of the boys that he had in playing on the day.
Yeah, I think, Darren, I suppose the big thing from a Kerry point of view is the chances that they missed. I think Killian Splann and Tony Boston, this was a big chance for them to impress. And well, Darren Roach obviously got 3 points in his debut, and I think he acquitted himself pretty well. I think probably the big talking points on the streets of Tralee and Clare today was probably the forward unit malfunctioning a little bit up top. I think Kerry kicked six wides in the second half alone, and you know, the efficiency just wasn't there. And obviously, you're missing, you know, three all-star footballers in that forward line, Shawnee Shea and two Cliffords, and it was a chance for other guys to impress, but they just didn't really take the chances. I don't think Kerry probably had enough chances, you know, to make an impact in that second half, even when things weren't going well. But just the efficiency and some of the shot selection was very, very poor. I don't think Kerry got a score from a free all day either, which is very unusual, but very low scoring. You wind it back 12 months ago, Kerry, you know, the Kildare game, Jack O'Connor, first day out, there was a lot of worried faces coming out of Newbridge that day. Yesterday wasn't maybe quite as worrying when you have Sam McGuire still in the county, but I think Jack O'Connor probably learned an awful lot more about some guys in the panel, and ultimately that's what the league is about. But I think up top, without David Clifford and Paudy and Sean O'Shea, Stephen O'Brien, Paul Ganey, there's a chance for some other of the fringe players to stake their claim. But yesterday, maybe some of them need a little bit more work on the training ground to get things right, because certainly you're not going to win too many matches scoring just 1-9.
Yeah, Niall, I don't know what you'd be thinking about it. Like, for me, I was actually, you know, the team was obviously big changes since the All-Ireland, but you looked at some of the names in the forward line who looked like they should be pushing for starting spots. And I think it's important during the league that when you don't have a Paddy, a David, a Shawnee, like that, a Paul Ganey, a Stephen O'Brien, we're naming them, that you can stand on your own 2 feet and you can kind of carry the can of small. But I think there'll be a bit of disappointment from Jack that he didn't get more out of him. But look, obviously they have next weekend at home, but it's very important for these fellas to stand up, because it gives other teams a lot of confidence that if you mark David Clifford, the rest of them aren't going to step up, and that's going to be the question mark hanging over them now until they start performing.
Yeah, 100%. Darren, like, it was a big opportunity for Tony Brosden, Killian Spillane in particular. And I know it's obviously, it's the first round of the league. It's very early doors. and lads can be rusty, like that's a given, but I'd say they'll be disappointed with their performances, those two in particular. Two lads who you would, I suppose, hold out a lot of hope for in maybe stepping up to help Clifford and to get a starting spot in the team. But they were just a little bit rusty yesterday. And I suppose it kind of summed up Kerry in general, maybe just a bit, a little bit off the mark.
Yeah, look, like that, I thought they started well. And look, maybe it was the bit of fatigue, the lack of training that they've done. But I suppose back to Donegal, I suppose I was, part of me was delighted to see them get a win. You know, obviously talked with Ian McGee all last year. We talked about how they were never really hitting their potential. Obviously, there was a bit of a circus up there in the off season with the management. But then Paddy's interview after, I think I have a quote here. It's a wonderful feeling. Spirits have been down, and Donegal people have had a very tough time over the last couple of months. We're particularly thinking of the people of Creaslaw at the moment. We're just delighted that we put that heart and spirit in. Even the way he said it inside, it was like he was fighting back the tears. He talked about the immigration in Donegal and, you know, how far and wide people are, and he just hoped to put a bit of pride back into them. So it was great to see. I did think there was a lot more ambition out of Donegal yesterday. Their long-range kicking, Kevin, was outstanding. They seemed to be kicking a lot more ball. And Paddy McBrearty probably did what Paddy McBrearty has been doing over the last number of years. Was well-marked, but came up with a big moment. But I do think that if they are to kick on and start to do a bit more, he needs to be a bit more prominent throughout the 70 minutes.
Yeah, I think Jason Foley had done well on him overall, Darren, during the game. But I mean, they could rename the loop at Dublin Airport the Paddy McBrearty loop, because he's just practically trademarked it. And he just knew, he didn't do an awful lot to create that score. He literally just gave a give and go, but got it back. But once he got the 2 yards, and I think there was a bit of being tight, Morley might have got caught flat in his feet a little bit as well. And once he got himself set up inside the 45 and took that shot, he knew it was going straight over. He's done it. I think he beat Derry with a last minute kick a couple of years ago in the championship. He's done it numerous times. And he's a real leader in that team, and you could see what it meant to him at the end of the game. And you mentioned Paddy Carr's quote there, and I thought it was interesting where Paddy Carr was saying that, you know, he's not afraid of players making mistakes. He was saying the biggest mistake is to be worrying about making a mistake, and he thought the players play with a bit of freedom. And maybe he was having a go at previous management where Donegal was so constrained about getting it to Murphy, just get it to Murphy and he'll do things. Other guys now have to step up. But McColgan, at being back yesterday, was absolutely outstanding for 3 points. He ran Kerry ragged. He really just drove at the Kerry defence constantly. And there's a lot of good young footballers in Donegal, maybe that we haven't seen over the last couple of years, but they were impressive, albeit against an under-strength and under-power Kerry team.
Yeah, Niall, I think like that the big thing for Donegal was that they had a lot of new faces that came in and did really well. But as Kevin alluded to there, Penny talked about not being afraid. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, kick the ball. And it was so refreshing to hear, because one of the things it's become so prominent in GA is stats. And it could be, Niall, you touched the ball 20 times and you only kicked it 4 times and you had 4 turnovers. We tend to focus on the negatives, and that takes away the bit of confidence there, or, you know, the ability to look for a pass and not to worry about making a mistake. So it was really refreshing to see. And they actually did kick an awful lot more ball than they have done over the last couple of years, which was brilliant to see. And I know they weren't the only team. We'll talk about that a bit later. But would you hold a bit more optimism, a bit of positive thinking now for Donegal going forward, Niall?
I certainly would, Darren. I think that, I suppose, coming into this league campaign, I suppose spirits were, as Paddy mentioned in his post-match interview on TG Cahir, spirits were a bit down. With Michael Murphy leaving, and people were nearly beginning to forget a little bit about Donegal, thinking, you know, they have a long way to go. But Kevin touched on the young lads there. I mean, I was looking at them into them earlier this morning. Caelan McColgan is only 20. He was man of the match and had a brilliant game. Conor O'Donnell probably pushed him for man of the match. He's only 20 as well. I think everyone was impressed with young Johnny McGrady, another 20-year-old. He kind of a very stylish wing forward, I thought, and just a new kind of a player. And I think Donegal, like if ever a team needed a shake up, Donegal were that team. Luke McGlynn came on as well. He's only 18 years of age. He actually played soccer underage for Ireland, and I'm not sure did you catch it, boys, but when the Kerry goalkeeper Shane Murphy, is it, Darren?
Yeah, Shane Murphy. Yeah.
When Shane missed one of the frees, he was running back to the goals, and Luke McGlynn, only 18, gives him a little pat on the back, saying, "You know, well done there, bud. Nice miss or whatever." So it was good to see. I was very impressed with Donegal the whole game, and I thought it was probably the moment of the weekend, really, when Paddy McBrearty got that late point. And you mentioned Paddy Carr; he was very emotional, and I just did a little bit of research. He kind of caught my attention, I suppose, with the long hair, and I knew it wasn't a Donegal accent when I was listening to him too. So I looked up a bit about him, and on his Wikipedia. Says he was he's the Donegal manager, former Donegal player, has an unbelievable head of hair. That's what it says too. So he was hiding it under the hatch yesterday, but I'm sure we'll see it during the summer. He managed Kilmacud Crokes to their last All-Ireland in 2009, won two Leinster titles as well with them. So a very well-travelled man, and definitely a great start to his managerial tenure.
Yeah, no, look, you both touched on it there. The young lads come through, and do you know what? It actually looked that way with Donegal. They had that bit of freshness about them. So, look, it is a case of watch this space. It won't be plain sailing for them. I do think it's going to be a tough league for them because of all these new players coming in. They won't be outstanding in every game. They're going to come up against some tough opposition. But I'd be a lot more positive after watching Donegal. You know, as you both mentioned, there are some very exciting young players. And when you have an 18-year-old tough enough to give a bit of cheek to a goalie on his way back, you're kind of onto something. You need that bit of cheekiness. You need that bit of arrogance, that bit of confidence. And that freshness will go through the team. So some of the boys that have been around the last couple of years, you know, it'll bring them on another bit as well. But Niall, you mentioned the moment of the weekend, Paddy McBrearty score, but I think Ryan O'Donoghue might have a couple of things to say about that. I think Mayo Galway was the game of the weekend, and I don't know about you lads, but I was absolutely blown away by the intensity of it. I think there was 15,000 at it. Like, it had a championship feel to it. And before we talk about the game, I actually don't think I've ever seen McHale Park looking as well. It was always a pitch I hated. It was like playing in clay, especially in January, but it looked unbelievable. And Mayo, another team, you what to expect. A big call from next day to leave a nice number with RTÉ to go in there. So they actually looked like they have that bit of freshness, that bit of excitement. I think Padraig O'Hara said in an interview recently, I think he mentioned the word giddy, you know, the bit of newness to it. So, and all of a sudden, they're even starting to kick the ball a bit more, and potentially could have a full forward line of Ryan O'Donoghue, Conroy, and James Carr. So are we about to see a different Mayo come to the fore this year, Kevin?
I don't know, Darren, because I watched it for a second time last night, and I actually wasn't as impressed as I was maybe the first time. I thought, you know, if you had told somebody or asked somebody, is this a James Horan team or a Kevin McStay team, you would have found it hard to differentiate. I didn't really see anything in Mayo that I hadn't seen a lot of before, where when the game becomes ragged, that's kind of where they're at their best, where it's kind of a chaotic kind of a game at the end. And if I was Padraig Joyce today, like, the clearance for Ryan O'Donoghue, like at an under 12, under 14 level, if you had done that, you'd be whipping that guy off. It was the most brainless clearance. Like, you kick it out into the crowd, you know, you work it across to the other side. But to literally kick it straight back to the man to give him any kind of intercounty forward of a decent standard should be slotting it over from 5 meters like that. So, like, Padraig Joyce just must have been pulling his hair out, because Galway, for me, were the most much better side. It looked like they had an awful lot more about them. Damien Comer played midfield an awful lot more. Perhaps something Galway should have done in the All-Ireland final. And I think what surprised me is that McStay pulled Dermot O'Connor to the sideline. He was substituted maybe in the last 10, 15 minutes, which was maybe an interesting choice. And they brought in some of the heavy hitters. Aidan O'Shea didn't get a chance to do much at full forward, which they were probably hoping to plan around. But it was the same kind of Mayo, you know, very exciting, get the crowd going, kick some horrendous wides. You know, defensively, they got caught, how Aidan Moore got caught inside with a ball coming in on top. And, you know, just it's kind of, there's a lot of work, I think, for McStay to do there. And I mean, we had been told that they were going to kick the ball an awful lot more. I didn't see much of it. I thought Galway were the better side. I thought Galway probably should have won. But I mean, a huge crowd, the Mayo crowd probably got the back into it. And to be fair, Ryan O'Donoghue was a great kick, even if he had two bites of the cherry at it. But I think Galway will be sick today in terms of leaving 2 points behind them. A lot for Mayo to work on. I think they have some guys to come back in as well. But for me, having watched it a second time, I wasn't impressed. I was probably caught up in the emotion a bit on Saturday night, and actually looking back at it and analysing it and looking at where Galway were, I think, you know, Galway were the better team, probably should have won. And I think McStay has a bit of work to do in terms of, you know, tightening Mayo up a little bit and actually getting their forwards to work as a unit and work together rather than maybe some of the individual stuff that we have seen over the last number of years.
Yeah, I suppose, Niall, in terms of Mayo, it's going to take a bit of getting used to. I suppose the natural instinct of a lot of their players for a number of years has been to run it. And as Kevin did say, I suppose they got back into it in typical Mayo fashion. Helter skelter, carnage, bodies flying here, there and everywhere. In terms of Galway, Kevin mentioned Comer, who at the start was incredible. You know, he was in the thick of everything. He was winning ball, scoring, assisting. But he's another fella, similar to McBrearty, I suppose, kind of plays in bursts. And I do think if Galway are going to step it up and go up another level and potentially go a step further than they did last year, they need him to be consistently in the game for the 70 minutes. I felt at the start, he looked like a man possessed. Maybe just ran out of steam a small, but I know he was travelling over the winter. I'm not sure how long he's home or how much training he's at. Maybe he got tired, I don't know. But especially in Shane Walsh's absence, they need a more consistent 70 minutes, I think, out of Comer. Do you reckon, Niall?
Yeah. He did. He started that game like a man who was going to go to town completely. I suppose, Darren. But I think Matt Bryan is a physical man back there for Mayo. And he like Comer, there's very few lads who can match Comer. But McBrien was well able for him as the game went on, I suppose. I think maybe when Comer started to go out of the game, that probably coincided with the period when Mayo came on top. And it was nearly all Mayo in that second half, apart from that brilliant Sean Kelly goal. So I suppose, yeah, I think Galway, like Killian McDade and Comer, were on fire really in the first half. And just Mayo just seemed to get a little bit on top. But like Kevin, I didn't see too much new from Mayo either. It was the same kind of running style and the same spirit and even the same excitement around the whole match too. I'm not sure, did you see the videos? At halftime, there was a fella did a pitch invasion with a Mayo flag and actually fell when he got to the halfway line. And then at full time, the steward was calling for nobody to invade the pitch. And well, that fell on deaf ears anyway.
Yeah, it was a bit funny to see it right the first round of the league. And it was absolute carnage at halftime and at full time. And
that's Mayo.
Sure, I was going to say you wouldn't see it anywhere else but Mayo. But like that, I think it'll be interesting. In terms of midfield, I think the midfield was interesting. Like you've, I think Fenton or Kieran William was comparing Matty Rowan to Fenton, and as probably the only other player who has the same attributes. But like on the other side, like McDade started, he had a big strapping on his knee, which I was surprised to see, because obviously they'd be looking to go to the latter stage of the league. I'd like to know what kind of injury he's carrying, because it looked like a fairly heavy strapping. But like Conroy, McDade, Rowan, you know, they're three of the best midfielders in the country at the moment. So the Connacht Championship is going to be interesting. But in fairness to Rouen, he's definitely kicked it on as years have gone on, and he's a big leader for him now for Mayo. So it'd be interesting to see their progress throughout the year. I'll never say I'm excited about Mayo, because it tends to be the same old thing. But I thought coming away from it, I even thought they might be quietly confident that they could kick on this year, but then Mayo don't do anything quietly either. So they'll definitely be hyping things up. But look, McStay seemed happy enough with it, maybe happy enough to get the point against Galway, whereas Joyce wasn't so happy just to be probably leaving a point behind him. But as you said, Kevin, they'll be kicking themselves for that last score that they put on a play for Ryan. It's a good kick now. It was a great kick, to be fair, but very naive out of Galway. They need to get rid of that bit of naivety.
Learn to
fall off line.
Speaking about Matthew Roland there, Darren, I mean, his black card was, I don't know how he got a black card. Now, he shouldn't have got involved in it, but I mean, that's not what the black card was brought in for, like, you know, kind of having a bit of a dunt off some fella. And I thought, you know, Joe McQuillan at times maybe didn't referee it, perhaps maybe at a championship level. I thought, you know, if that happened in a championship game, he'd just get up and get on with things. But I mean, to give him a black card for that seemed a little bit strange, and it did kind of, you know, I suppose create a bit of disharmony amongst Mayo. They had to kind of rejig things, and maybe perhaps if he hadn't got the black card, they could have kicked on a little bit with Aidan Shea at the square, but next day had to rejig. But I just thought maybe some of the decisions from Joe McQuillan were a little bit baffling for both sides, and maybe some of the refereeing over the weekend, I thought, was, you know, some of the referees are blowing a bit of dirty petrol out of their system as well. There was one or two scores involved in the Kerry Donegal game that mightn't have exactly been legit either. So, you know, I suppose we'll have to account for referees making some mistakes as well at this time of year.
Yeah, I was going to give that one a miss, the Kerry Donegal one. Jack definitely wasn't going to give it a miss. Yeah, look, some of the decisions now, especially I think with scores, you know, when you have two umpires there and you have linesmen who can see, and the ref, very rarely you should be getting them wrong. But look, we're not going to go into umpires today, because we could be here for hours giving out about him, because
just,
a lot
just
of them
on
are
the,
there for the drive.
On the Jack O'Connor one, he was pointing at the officials, and I'd say it was a daunting place for them to be, but one lad turned around and he was brave enough. He went back to Jack, and eventually Jack shook his hand. So he was the bravest of them anyway. I'm not sure who it was.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. It would have been nice to be able to hear what was being said there, but I don't think Jack was too... Jack would have been too complimentary of him, no, to be fair. But yeah, look, we don't want to be talking about referees and umpires now in the first round of the league. There was enough going on. I'm going to stay in Connacht. Roscommon and Tyrone. Massive win for Roscommon. They've been a yo-yo team in the National League the last number of years. It was a huge win. And I'm going to come out with a bold one. And every time I come out with a prediction, I get made a fool of. I think Tyrone are going to go down this year. There's something not right there. They got into a 3-point lead in the second half with a good win at their back. Great chance to kick on, didn't take it. And then kind of collapsed after that. So, look, I don't know, you probably disagree with me. But I don't see what's going on up there. They've just gone so far backwards after winning the All-Ireland. Kevin, I don't know, will you back me up on this, or do you say I'm backing up the wrong tree?
I hope you're not going to go to Omer to the Kerry strong game anyway. So that could be Kerry. might have something pinned up in the wall for you there, but I don't know what has gone wrong with Tyrone. Is an interesting one, and you know, they came out of nowhere. They won in All Ireland, you know, and it looked like they were going to set themselves up for a number of years to give it a real rattle, but they lost a huge amount of players last year. They got to the McInnes Cup. Generally, they do very well in the McInnes Cup, kind of a Mickey Hart kind of, I suppose, hangover in terms of doing well in pre-season. And then obviously just flopped in the final. And yesterday, you know, when they got level, and they were down 3 points at half time. They kicked on the second half. I think they got level. And then you were thinking, okay, this is Tyrone here. And Roscommon just hit them with the most kind of Tyrone-like sucker punch goals you could imagine. Enda Smith was outstanding. And I have to say, I've been to a good few games in the Hyde. The Hyde is a tough place to go a lot of teams, but Roscommon don't have a great record in Division One. I think they've only won a handful of games any of the times that they've been up and down over the last number of years. But just Tyrone just kind of collapsed, I think. They just mentally didn't look up for it, and they were shell-shocked. And it's hard to know what's gone wrong. I think their forward division is very good. They looked quite fit, but defensively, they just fell asunder yesterday. And once Roscommon got a sniff of blood, they really went for it. And to be fair to Roscommon, there's experienced campaigners there, the Marches and the Smith, you know. Davy Burke is a manager that has been around a long time, is well able to set up teams. But I don't think Tyrone are going to go down. I think, you know, they have too many home games. If you have to go to Omagh, you'll really earn your corn there. Like, I've been to Dr. Hyde Park numerous times for league games and a few championship games. It's a really tough place to go. But like, Tyrone got sucker punched yesterday, but they really were the architects of their own downfall for an awful lot of it. They allowed Roscommon to hang on in there. And I mean, Darren McCurry came on. He looked very good. They have all the ingredients, Darren, but it's just not going for them at the moment, whatever is up in Tyrone. But I don't think they're going to get relegated. I think that might be a little bit of a stretch. But I think, you know, teams going to Omagh are going to find it tough. But they're not going as well. There is an issue there. And yeah, because it's such a condensed season, you know, how many clear the air meetings are they going to have? Because they had quite a lot of them last year, it didn't work out. And I would say Doohan and Logan are under a bit of pressure if they don't win the next two or three games, or performances don't improve, then it could be a bit of a summer of discontent as well as a winter of one from last year.
Yeah, you can name out all the players, and on paper, it's very strong. And the quality in the forwards is. You can't deny it, but it's just like something you can't put your finger on. Like you said, they won All Ireland, maybe coming from nowhere slightly, and sometimes when you get that medal, it's hard to keep get the hunger back. And they don't just. I thought, you know, they had an early exit last year, come back this year hungry, ready to go. But they, by all accounts, a few of the games in the McKenna Cup, they weren't looking too good. In the first game yesterday, they should have had that game done and dusted. They have enough quality there. There's not many players come back into the team. They're winning. They have the elements at their back. And very unlike Tyrone, they were their own downfall and defensively just being picked apart. And you mentioned then the Smith, what a player he's been over the last number of years, and to come on and be involved in all three goals. And the pass for the first goal was absolutely beautiful. Now,
Darren, I'm a huge, huge fan of Enda Smith. I'm not sure why he didn't start yesterday, but came on after 40 minutes and had a hand in all three goals. As you said, the pass for that first one, it was just there was a lot of imagination, I suppose, in that. I don't think many players would have seen it, but what like such a key player for Roscommon and has been so consistent for so long. He did very well for I think it was the third goal. He did well to hold on to the ball there as well. That was Ben O'Carroll's. And he's another man who, like Roscommon people, will be looking forward to seeing, because he was an under 20 when they played Offaly, when they lost to Offaly in that All-Ireland final 2 years ago. And with the two Murtas going well as well, Ben O'Carroll is probably a player that they needed, and he looked very lively yesterday off both left and right foot. So plenty of positives for Roscommon. Disappointing for Tyrone, and I'd agree with you, Darren. I'd be worried if I was a Tyrone fan as well.
Yeah, and
but Tyrone they still have to be worse than Monaghan, Donegal or Roscommon to get relegated. They're definitely not worse than those three teams who are the candidates for relegation, surely.
Well, genuinely, I was very impressed with Roscommon last year, and I felt that they got to the Connacht final and things just unravelled a bit for them. But I was very impressed with them throughout the league up to a certain point last year. And like that, Monaghan have somehow managed to survive the last couple of years. So my favourites to go down were Monaghan and Donegal. And just after seeing Tyrone again last year, I was going, I just can't put my finger on it. It's one of them ones that you're looking at and you name out their players and you're going, they shouldn't be in that position. They should be in the conversation to win the All-Ireland. But I think it's maybe what's got me feeling this way is the improvement of the likes of the Armaghs, the Derrys, you know, that all of a sudden I just don't expect as much from them. And I don't know, maybe it's an attitude thing up there. A lot of them have their medal. Sometimes it's hard to get your hunger back after that, and there's a bit more of a household name. You get a few more gigs, and it's hard to play with that edge. Maybe they were, it's a famous last words, maybe they softened a few of them, you know, which is very unlike Tyrone. But going back to Roscommon, Daly kicked three huge scores as well from wing back, and there was a funny moment where he got a boot from outside the boot, and he gave Canavan a bit of lip, and I had to laugh. Canavan just started laughing at him, and Daly's only response to it was just to laugh back. But it wasn't long after Canavan got a ball himself, and with the outside of the boot, pinged one over an absolute beaut. And I was only waiting for him to go running over to him and give him a few words, but it never happened. But
it's a pity he wasn't right beside him.
It would have been funny.
There was a good few of them moments over the weekend. I seen when we were talking about the Luke McGlynn pushing the Kerry keeper earlier. And I don't know how we got through the Mayo Galway match without mentioning that James Carr goal. What a screamer that was. But he nearly flattened the Galway lad straight after that too. And then you had Sean Kelly. He had a good reaction when Ryan O'Donoghue scored his point, just saying a little fair play as well. Yeah. So it's always nice to see those sort of moments.
Yeah, it is. It's the softer moments, I suppose. And like, to be fair, most lads will acknowledge an opposition member if he does something spectacular. And you're actually right, Niall. We did so much talking about everything else, we nearly forgot about James Carr's goal, which, to be fair, I don't think he gets normal goals. It was an absolute rocket. He looks like a man who's put on a bit of bulk. He looks strong. He looks physical. We know he has the pace. So another fella who plays in flashes. So maybe he can kick it on and be a bit more consistent throughout the year, because he would be a massive asset to the Mayo forward line. But like that, as we mentioned before, there's no point being an asset if the ball's not going to be kicked into you, because the running game doesn't suit fellas when it's crowded upside there. I suppose the last game in Division 1, our man Monaghan, poor old Rory Began, won't want to be looking back on this one, Kevin.
No, badly cut out. Yeah, badly cut. Like, for him to make one mistake was bad enough, but I don't know what happened to him when the shot went in, and he kind of seemed to have it and then dropped it and then kind of slid on the mud and then dragged the ball into the net. Like, Monaghan will be under pressure. I think Armagh, you know, were no great shakes themselves, I think. But I mean, Castlevania obviously is a nightmarish place to try and play any match at any stage of the year. You know, Patrick Cavanagh was right about Stony Grace Island. There's a bit of it on the pitch there as well, I'd say. But like, Monaghan probably will be looking at maybe getting two wins, two, three, maybe 5-6 points, and seeing if that would be enough to keep them up, because there's definitely a bit of transition there. They've stayed in Division 1 for a long time. But Armagh were not great. I was a little bit disappointed, I think, in Armagh. And, you know, we obviously got 4 points. I think he got one mark, one free, two from play. And, you know, they did okay, I think. But I think Armagh, with a team of ambitions to go further in the championship, to maybe make a league final, I think McGeaney needs silverware. He's been there for a very long time and they haven't got really anything under their belt. So I think they would be targeting the league. But they probably could have been better. I mean, this time 12 months ago, they blitzed the Dubs in Croke Park. It wasn't quite as fluid as that, but maybe they don't need to be quite as fluid this time around. But a good Ulster derby for night out for Monaghan and Armagh. Monaghan will need to pick up points, and they're playing Kerry next weekend, which is going to be a tough one for them. But overall, a decent game, I think. And obviously, Ethan Rafferty is just unbelievable. Like, you know, they're talking about the Clifford effect. You nearly go to see our man Ethan Rafferty to see what he's going to come up with next, because he's just absolutely exceptional in terms of his point taking and his overall general play. He's bringing goalkeeping, I think, even to the next level after the kind of Cluxton, Patton, Began kind of years. We're seeing something even new coming out of our man. He's a central part of it.
Yeah, there was actually a lot of goalies on the scoreboard the weekend. Galligan, Rafferty, Morgan, Began. But it is a very interesting one, because you're actually like, he's obviously a very good footballer. Like, he's played outfield in the county, he plays for the club outfield. He's very agile, he's a big strong man. But you're getting a free outfield player to play make. And as a forward, I was watching going, geez, wouldn't that be great? Be coming onto the ball, facing the play with no one marking you, able to, you'd have your vision in front of you of where you're gonna put the ball anyway. So for a player like him, he's probably cruising through games, to be honest, because he's playing the game with nobody marking him. It's great.
Yeah,
would you fancy that?
You mentioned him running on to play unmarked, and that was exactly what he did for that point, that brilliant point he got there at the weekend. And he's just like a lot of the keepers, you see them leaving the goals nowadays. And I don't think anyone has the kind of the power and the pace, and just he's so exciting to watch with the kind of the speed he's traveling at on the ball. He's like, he is actually an extra attacker for Armagh. And yeah, Kevin's right. You nearly would travel up to see him.
Oh, you would. Like, it's bringing an extra level of excitement too, because obviously you want to see them doing great things like Rafferty's doing, and he's getting great scores. But you're also half hoping one of them's going to slip and it's a mistake, and there's a bit of excitement and a bit of hustle and hurry to try and get back and cover the goals. Like, so I know it's exciting, but I think he's at a different level to the rest of them at the moment, because he's a natural forward. He's not a goalie, he's a natural forward who's getting to play as he wishes, pick and choose, take a breather there, play slow down, and he's a player who can pop it off 35, 40 yards at his ease and stroll away back into goal. But I think you're right, Kevin. I think Armagh will be disappointed with the performance. They weren't great. Now, yesterday, you're probably expecting a bit more from them, but they have 2 points on the board. Sometimes, you know, you'd be maybe overanalyzing the first round of the league a bit much. But I just think teams are coming back a lot fresher than they would have before. So you maybe are expecting a bit more from them, even if it is early days. And a lot of them have had a lot of time to prepare for these games as well. It's not like the season only just finished and, you know, they've got no work done. A lot of them have a lot of work done. So there'd be a lot of work to build on as well. And I suppose the next weekend is going to be a big one for a lot of teams. Kevin, you mentioned it there that Monaghan are travelling down to Kerry. I think it's a huge game for Kerry, and it's a huge game for the forwards that we criticised earlier in the show, because if you don't perform this weekend coming, you don't get the 2 points, the games don't get any easier. I actually think Kerry, from a Kerry point of view, if you asked them what 2 games they wanted to start the league with, they probably would have said Donegal and Monaghan. So they need to start putting points on the board. Because like that, there's trips to Castlebar, there's trips to Oma, and after my comments, I might be after putting Kerry in a bit of hot water with that one. So the games are only going to get come thicker, faster, and a bit more intense. So it's going to be an exciting couple of weeks, Kevin.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously Armagh are going to, they have Mayo next weekend as well. So, you know, round one, the excuses, you know, it's okay. Look, we're getting petrol out of the system. But when you get into round two and you're thinking, okay, you know, we need to get some points on the board here, because, you know, Kerry got dragged into numerous relegation battles. Maynard Fitzmaurice was the manager. And, you know, it kind of deflates the entire season. And obviously the season was much longer then. So Kerry don't want to get dragged into that. And if teams want to be ambitious to maybe win a league, the Armaghs and Galways, I think they would be interested in winning a league, and maybe the Tyrone in them if they can get their ship together. But for Kerry, it's just about survival. I think Monaghan survival. Ross Collins' victory over Tyrone obviously puts Monaghan under pressure, and Johnny Ball, you know, getting those points on the board. The season can slip away from you very, very quickly. If you don't get something out of round two, you have a little bit of a break then and you're into February, pitches maybe getting slightly better. But I wouldn't say Kerry are under a lot of pressure, but if the performance level doesn't win, improve significantly next week, and if they don't win by a couple of points, or if they end up with a draw and only 1 point from two games, Jack O'Connor said he wasn't cranky anymore. Well, I'd say he might be fairly cranky this time next week if Kerry don't have at least 2 points on board.
Yeah, I think like that after the first game, you're always going to ask the first game. But if you're not getting the points on the board after two games, with the intensity of Division One and it's so cutthroat, the pressure does come on. And whether you think you've mellowed or not, the crankiness will definitely come out. We'll talk a bit about Division Two, but before we do, I just want to mention last year's Taltian Cup finalists, Cavan and Westmeath. It was a good first game for both of them to get. Cavan will be delighted with the win, and I was delighted to see McPheety back for Cavan, who was looking very, very lively. And it's an interesting position for Westmeath this year. Obviously, you want to get promoted to Division Two, but obviously they're guaranteed to be in the Sam Maguire. So it's interesting to see what their mind frame is going to be like. And obviously with Desi in charge and Jason Sherlock in the background team, there's going to be a bit of pressure there. But it was a good game, and Cavan, who I thought would win the Taltian Cup last year, looked like a team that mean business.
Yeah. I think Westmeath were a bit slow to get going in that one, and if it wasn't for centre back Ronan Wallace, he got forward for a goal. I think Westmeath were just a bit off the pace. Cavan were a good bit sharper, so a little bit, I suppose, a wake-up call for Westmeath. But yeah, Cavan, they could be a team to watch again.
Yeah, no, I like Cavan the last couple of years. I don't know how they ended up dropping the division so far, but they look like they've got their act together. And obviously, as I mentioned, McPheety back this year, he's going to be a big addition in the forwards. We'll shoot up to Division 2. I suppose the first game we watched, Dublin and Kildare, normally a Division 1 game you'd expect, but very much had a Division 2 feel to it. And then when you compare it to the pace and intensity of the game that followed it with Galway and Mayo, it was a strange one. Dublin be happy to come away with the win, but like that, we keep saying the same line over and over again, Kevin, Hart's first round of the league, but they weren't very convincing, I didn't think, Dublin.
No, I think they've used 45 players in their first three games of the year, Darren, so that might just give an indication of, you know, trying to get that cohesion and actually get the balance right. But I think overall, Conor O'Callaghan started the game but was anonymous for the first 20 minutes or so. No ball went into him. And they're kind of still doing the same things that they were doing for the last two seasons, where the shot selection is a bit wild at times. Defensively, they can be carved open if there's direct ball going in. Jack Robinson was electric in the first couple of minutes, and I haven't seen Owen Merchant get skimmed like that very often, but Robinson was just absolutely fantastic. And I think Kildare today will feel that there was enough chances for them to win it or certainly get something out of it. But the older guys for Dublin, your Fenton, Kieran Kilkenny, you know, like, they are kind of keeping the show together. John Small, they are leading that team, because there's a few guys blowing hot and cold. Cormac Costello is kind of a hot and cold kind of a guy. And you know, Dublin obviously have Evan Comerford as well. So it's hard to give a full estimation, but I was disappointed in Dublin. I think, you know, Division 2, you form bad habits in Division 2, and the longer they stay in Division 2, you know, they might get away with that against Kildare and some of the other teams, you know, Meath and Cork in Division 2. But when they come up to the Division 1 standard in the Championship, which inevitably they will, and with the more opportunity for playing Division 1 teams with the various permutations this year, they might find it a little bit stickier in terms of stuff like that. But look, it's very early days. They're going to walk Division 2. They're easily going to get to a league final. They're going to get promoted, no problem. And obviously having the benefit of Croke Park, even in Division 2, is handy for them as well, to be able to blood all those players in Croke for the league. So it's 2 points on the board, but I think Kildare, you know, Glenn Ryan obviously be scratching his head, because they had enough opportunities, I think, to win that game. They just lack a real top class forward that can do the damage, and they're not direct enough. A lot of the players, they get the ball, they try and take a man on, they stop, they turn around, it's a hand pass back 5 yards, where, you know, if you get direct ball into some runners against the Dubs, they will allow you one-on-one, and then if you have guys good enough to get scores, and you can get scores. But I think disappointing for Kildare, and a lot of Dubs fans will probably be scratching their heads as well, wondering when Jack McCaffrey and Paul Mannion will come back into to give them a push, a significant boost during the league.
Yeah, Niall, I don't know what your thinking feelings about it was. It just, there was just something lacking, and I'm not going to go into the Croke Park debate and the league game, but I do always think in a game like that, if you add the atmosphere of a tighter ground, does it speed things up? I just think sometimes when you're playing in Croke Park and it's only quarter full, if that, and the pace is slow and the crowd aren't into it and they're very far away, that all these different factors just make it quite a boring spectacle.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of club games over the winter, like even the Leinster Club semi-finals were played there this year, which, like, the atmosphere, like Croke Park, when it's empty, it's very dead, and it's hard to get into a game. It even was that way for the All-Ireland Club Hurling final this year as well. So, and as we all know, the pitch isn't in great nick at the moment as well. So, I suppose that's another argument. But yeah, I suppose Dublin, they'll be slightly disappointed. It's early days, obviously, but they were a bit sloppy early on. Made a few. You even had lads like Brian Fenton, Kieran Kilkenny, dropping balls into the keeper's hands, which is very unusual. But yeah, I was kind of impressed with Kildare at times. Now, I thought their full back line, their three hardy boys, Ryan Houlihan, Shea Ryan, and Mick O'Grady. Mick O'Grady did very well on Conn O'Callaghan, to be fair to him. And Ryan Houlihan, he's not the tallest, but he gave Brian Fenton a bit of a sickener of a hit there. Definitely a tough corner back. And like very impressed. Neil Flynn is a player who always impressed me for Kildare. Just a brilliant link man in midfield. And I suppose Kevin said they're maybe lacking a marquee forward, but I'd say Derek Irwin is coming close to that status at this stage. He probably has a bit to go yet, but what a brilliant left foot, and what a brilliant finisher. So yeah, I think Kildare, they'll be disappointed they didn't win it. They definitely had enough chances. And Glenn Ryan, he doesn't hide his disappointment in those post-match interviews anyway.
No, which is good for us and good for everyone watching as well. Yeah, it was one of them ones. I expected Dublin to win it, but I just, you know, I came away from it a bit underwhelmed by him. I thought I was going to see a bit more, and even the pace of it, you know, was a bit unlike Dublin. Elsewhere in Division 2, a buddy of mine on a different podcast said Cork were his team to watch this year. And Meath under Colmar Rook had a great start down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, which again looked amazing. But I was shocked at the scoreline. 19 points is massive kicking by Cork, but to concede 3-14, and they brought Kevin Walsh into the backroom team this year. And when Kevin Walsh with Galway, they were just so solid at the back. They were very defensive minded, you know, mind the house. And I assumed, I still assume, and that's what he was brought in for. Maybe it takes a while for these ideas, but they were just cut open Cork for the weekend. And like, kick 19 points and come away losing is a desperate kick into the stomach, Kevin. So I don't know, like, Cork looked impressive. I know with the McGrath Cup, they looked like they were moving in the right direction. And is it a case of Cork aren't pushing on again, Kevin, or am I just being a bit harsh after the first round of the league?
Like, Kevin Walsh has gone in there to sort out the defence of Cork, and he'll blow a gasket today, because like Meath just basically ran through them for those three goals. And I know maybe the third one was a few steps, by O'Sullivan. But even still, like you mentioned there, I mean, to kick that amount of scores and still lose is absolutely criminal in terms of the scoring. And, you know, Meath must really have been thinking that the game was out of reach. I mean, if you concede 19 points, you're thinking, you know, Kerry only won the All-Ireland scoring 20 points last year. So, I mean, it has to win the majority of matches. But Cork were good up to halftime and then just totally fell away. I think Colm O'Rourke, where contrast to Colm Mayo, where Max Day maybe hasn't made a big impact with Mayo yet, you could obviously see Colm O'Rourke having played in the 80s with Meath as a kick football and, you know, toughness, and there was a bit of hardness and there was a bit of, you know, Meath edge that we have maybe missed over the last 10 years or so. And I thought they were very, very good. They mixed the good with the bad at times. Some of their passing was a little bit wayward, but you could see exactly what they were trying to do. But from a Cork point of view, yes, Sherlock obviously got 14 points, and, you know, up top they were pretty good, but the six in defence looked like they didn't really know what they were doing at times. And I think Kevin Walsh has a lot of work to do in terms of making them more compact, because Páirc Ó Cuaig is a big pitch and Meath exploited that hugely yesterday, I thought, especially in the last 10-15 minutes. Meath just absolutely took over, and it looked like they were playing with 16 or 17 men almost at times, where Cork just kind of retreated into their shells. And I know obviously John Cleary has a lot of work to do there to try and get things sorted, but they do have a lot of work. Division 2 is a bear pit, and I don't think Cork will be coming up this year because they have a few very, very tricky games. But Meade certainly looked impressive, and I think Colm O'Rourke needed a good start down in Páirc Ó Cuaig and has got it, and they might just be a rival to the Dubs in Leinster if they can have a good league campaign. But there's a good few questions, Mark, and obviously we've heard a lot about the original Shane Walsh in Galway, but certainly the Shane Walsh from Meade was absolutely exceptional yesterday for a guy like him to come back, kick 1-7. He was a revelation, and I'm really looking forward to seeing more of him in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I was gonna just about to mention him as well. 1-7-1-3 from play, and I think he said after the game, when you're inside and you're showing hard, you just want to kick pass. If we can get the ball in early, we'll have a go. But that's what you want. Like, that's why I genuinely always have a soft spot for the Mayo forward, because the ball doesn't come in quick enough. And that's my last thing I'm gonna say about Mayo. But if the ball doesn't come in quick enough, your job has been made so much harder. But if you kick it in there, you've a an opportunity to go one-on-one. And like that, Cork had started the game very well. All of a sudden, Shane Walsh got his man one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball, went at him, went straight through. And something that, it's not just Cork, but it was actually in the Dublin and the Kildare game as well. Fellas are so obsessed, I think, Niall, with marking their own man. They actually don't see the point of danger. And for Fenton's goal, the area he ran into was just wide open. And there was three Kildare fellas looking on the opposite side, watching their man who was never going to be in danger of anything happening, you know. So it's something that, it's a bit like zone marking, I suppose, at times in soccer and whatever. But I'm not sure, it's an individual thing as well. I'm not sure, Cork players weren't sensing the danger. Where is the danger zone? The danger zone is inside the penalty box, and they just didn't cop it. A lot of it is too busy marking their own man who isn't a danger at the time. So they've a lot of work to do down in Cork now.
Yeah. Well, they didn't sense it for that Shane Walsh goal. I think it was the wing back. He stuck with the Meade wing forward and kind of let Walsh open up the space for him, we'll say. But it was brilliant from Walsh and very impressive from Meath in general. I actually watched in the first 10 minutes. I think they only had three or four attacks. Cork were kind of dominating the ball in the game. But for every one of those attacks, and the last one was that Shane Walsh goal, a Meath player just kicked the ball forward straight from the throw-in. Ronan Jones won the ball and he just booted it into the box. So it was, they're certainly listening to their manager, because Colm O'Rourke is a man who has been championing the kick pass and saying that football is all about kicking the ball. So it's good to see that they did a good bit of that yesterday. It didn't work out at times, but they definitely seem to have a more positive mindset. And I suppose that comes from kicking the ball. Shane Walsh, Kevin mentioned how he's excited to see him for the year. And I'm the exact same. He's the DCU Sigerson captain, and they're out in the quarterfinal tomorrow. So it just goes to show the busy schedule a lot of these young fellas have at the moment.
Yeah, it's going on.
We mentioned at the start there that Paddy Carr was saying, you know, players are aren't afraid to make mistakes, but Cork were really afraid to make mistakes. And, you know, it was so predictable. And Meath, actually, once they got to grips with them, they found it very easy to shut down the Cork attack, I think. And, you know, there's a lot of work to be done there where it's kind of one-dimensional. It's, you know, it's a guy on the loop all the time. You know, the patterns of play were very easily identifiable. And obviously the Meath team had done their homework in Cork from the McGrath Cup earlier this year, where they ran loads of goals in against Kerry, obviously, in the McGrath Cup. And I think Cork had 3 or 4 goal chances yesterday and didn't take any of them, and if they take one of those, they win the match. So, you know, realistically, I think there's a huge amount of work there, and it's old failings coming back to haunt Cork again. So it's a big league campaign for John Cleary and a lot of those players.
Yeah, and I suppose elsewhere in Division 2, another team who will be expecting to go up to Division 1 this year and put another big push in the Championship, Derry. They gave Limerick, who are now without Billy Lee as manager, they gave him a good introduction into Division 2 football. The only surprising thing was to see certain few names on the Derry squad the weekend. But look, they've started, as I suppose they mean to go on, a convincing win. And look, I'm presuming they're going to want to get their place in the league final as soon as possible, wrapped up and ready to go. So they'll be exciting to see how they push on this year now, Kevin.
Yeah, I think, look, the two lads, obviously, I think Rory Gallagher said he had no doubt they were going to play, and by all accounts, they were very, very impressive in the game. Limerick, I think, would be very disappointed, 4 points. I mean, for a team to come up, they're going to find the rarefier, the air of Division 2 a little bit hot, too hot to handle, I think. But, you know, for them, for Derry to cruise to that, you're right. Look, it's a league final for them. It's promotion to Division 1. I fully expect Derry and Dublin to be in that league final in Division 2. And their round-robin game will be very interesting to see how it goes at Durham. But look, I mean, Shane McGuigan is just an absolute class act. And, you know, 9 points, absolutely brilliant stuff. What Rory Gallagher might think of the whole Kilmacud scenario and whether he might be missing one or two of those Glen players in the next couple of weeks again for another match might be a different story, but it's a very good start for them. They're impressive, and everyone wants to see Derry be a little bit more expansive, and they started in the right fashion anyway.
Yeah, like that, I suppose we kind of expect them to hit the ground running, probably expect a bit more from, well, maybe hoped for a bit more from Limerick, but it was a good introduction in Division 2 football for them, because they've come up a level. Obviously, the momentum that they built over the last number of years with Billy Lee, they have to just try and kick it on. And elsewhere, the other game there, big win by Clare. Jamie Malone coming up with that clutch moment at the end. And I'm just, every year I'm impressed with Clare, to be honest. I'm a big fan of theirs, big fan of Cullum Collins, Niall. And look, they didn't play well, but we were on about that bit of toughness, you know, sometimes you have to have. And Clare were down 3 points going into the last couple of minutes, going into injury time, and still managed to eke out a big win. So it's going to be competitive. I'm looking forward to it. So we'll see how it goes. What do you reckon, Niall? Will Clare have anything to say? Will they be mid-table? Will they avoid relegation?
They could have, yeah. That was definitely a very good start for them in Division 2. I think everyone's saying Division 2 is probably going to be the most competitive of all, with Dublin, Kildare, all these teams. So Clare definitely could have something to say. Another great stoppage time intervention from Jamie Malone. He got the winner against Roscommon last year. So Clare definitely have a bit of spirit about them. And I know you two Kerry men, you're very smug anyway, looking down at Dublin in Division 2.
Actually, look, we were looking up them for long enough, so we're going to enjoy this now for a while. But like that, I don't expect to be looking down them in Division 2 for too long now, to be fair. But it will be interesting to see the quality of their games and their performances over the next couple of weeks, because, yeah, like Kevin said it there, you can develop bad habits. And you can start to expect that extra second or half second on the ball that you won't get come the latter stages of the championship. Like that, they'll be going from Division 2 into the Leinster Championship, which hasn't been great the last number of years. So they could be quite a while waiting for a good competitive game. So I think the next couple of weeks are going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing Jack McCaffrey back. I'm looking forward to seeing Mannion back. Mannion was one of my favourite forwards to watch before he half retired or took his break or whatever you want to call it. But I am curious to see what Paul Mannion comes back, because when you're away from the game for any period of time and you get that bit older, sometimes you lose that little yard of pace, that little turn of pace, that little spark. And if he's lost that bit of a drop of the shoulder and go, do they play him in the full forward line or do they try and play him as a playmaker at centre forward? That's something I've been thinking of recently, because I think if you don't have that drop of the shoulder and that go, if you're in the full forward line, a lot of the times nowadays, you're just going to be winning a ball, standing your man up. If the shot is not, you're just reversing it and rotating the ball, and that slows it down and that brings bodies back. So it's going to be interesting. I think if you spend any period of time away from the intercounty game with the way it's gone now and the conditioning of players, it might take a bit of time to get up to pace. And obviously, it might be a bit easier from getting into the Division 2 pace. But it'll be interesting to see, Kevin. I'm not sure what you think about it, but I'm curious to see. Like, I'd love to see Mannion back playing at his best, because I think he was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, look, he's an outstanding forward, and I got to see him up close in the 19 replay in Croke Park, and he was brilliant that day after having a very quiet, first outing. But Dublin, I think, have a lot of other options. They don't need to rush him back. I think Jack McCaffrey is the same. You know, there's no panic on getting Jack McCaffrey back, because even if Jack McCaffrey comes back at 90% of the player he was in, you know, March and April, once he's up to 100% for June and July, Dublin will be in an All-Ireland semi-final, and that's when you need those guys. But Mannion, you're right. Like, I found him very dependent almost on his left foot playing for Kilmacud now, where obviously with Dublin, you know, better defenders will block off that left foot option, and he has to go on his right and go on the outside and make that little space. And it is hard. The ankle injury as well, you know, you have to have that burst on your ankle as well. It seemed to go down in the final of the club championship was another issue as well. And, you know, your ankle is very slow to get right. But I think for Dublin, it's vital that he's there as a significant option. Whether he would be a centre forward option, I don't know, a la kind of a Gooch in the latter end of his career, to spray ball around, because he certainly has the vision. But you need pace at centre forward now as well to get away from your man. Look, pace is the number one thing for any forward. And even if he has lost that half a yard, if you're up against somebody like a Tom O'Sullivan, you know, who will eat you, gobble you up in terms of speed, or a Hansie or someone like that, you know, you're not going to be able to get away from him. So it'll be interesting. But he'll be given plenty of time to get right, I think, by Dublin. They're in no rush to get those guys back, and that'll be the interesting thing for Dublin, whether they're right for May, June and July.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, we're kind of nearly wrapping up now, we're coming to the end of it, but next weekend, not a huge weekend of football, a lot of big games coming up, and I'm looking at the fixtures here, and Tyrone Donegal sends out such a must-win game for Tyrone now, and Galway Roscommon, Galway are going to be wanting to get on to winning ways. They're at home. Another Connacht, it's like Connacht Championship, a mini Connacht Championship for Galway to start the league. So the games, to be fair, they're all exciting games every weekend. I think the Kerry Monaghan and the Armagh Mayo game is on TV as well. So we'll have plenty watching, and things don't get any easier in Division 2 for Limerick. They'll be playing Dublin. And another game I'll be keeping a good eye on is the Kildare and Cork game. Kildare will feel a bit of a moral victory, even though they don't want it. They will feel they should have got something maybe out of the game, or could have got something out of the game the weekend, and against the Cork team, who are bound to be feeling a bit sorry for themselves after the weekend. So Cork need to be coming out of Kildare with something, and likewise Kildare need to be winning their home game. So a lot of exciting games to look forward to. It's great to have the show back. Delighted to have Niall and Kevin with me, and I'm looking forward to plenty more excitement and controversy over the coming weeks, boys.
Definitely. Bring it on.